You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Hey, good morning, Gateway Church. Welcome online this morning. We're going to come around this morning's message. And if you're joining with us for the first time, we want to really welcome you. We're going to talk about this morning the one thing. The one thing. You know, there's nothing better than cooking a great meal. And I hope I haven't just lost 40% of the room right there. But if you know me, I love when guests come over for dinner. Most Friday nights, we can have up to 20 people coming over for dinner at our house, sitting on our dining table that seats about 25 people. That was made by my husband, Lee, especially, and by my friend, the same friend that I rope in to help me cook on these Friday nights. But if you know my personality, I somehow seem to make it complicated. It can't be an Indian curry from a jar. It has to be Rick Stein's red chili lamb that has 25 dried Kashmiri chilies in it. Delicious. It can't be one recipe. It has to be 3 to 4, catering for my friends who I love that are gluten-free, vegan, dairy-free, no onion or garlic, meat well done to medium, rare preferred. We certainly all have experiences in our lives that have shaped the way we are. Maybe it's the influence of travelling through India. Maybe it's growing up with meat and 3 veg every night. Or maybe it's just the great expectation I put on myself that no one puts on me. Uncomplicated versus complicated. Simple, cheap ingredients versus a list with 50 condiments from specialty stores or ingredients you've never heard of. For most of us, we're just happy if someone offers to feed us. So what are you like when a guest comes over for dinner? Are you frantic or are you calm? Are you anxious or are you relaxed? What would be your ideal of how this night could be in your home? Would it be beautiful food delivered straight to your door? A house that has been cleaned, not by you, and all you had to do is be with your guest. Eat good food, talk, and enjoy the rich relationship of their company. And to say goodnight and go straight to bed because your beautiful husband said he's going to do all the dishes and make it bright and shiny for you when you wake up the next morning. What a night it would be to remember. A night where everybody received and felt completely refreshed. When a guest arrives, our personality certainly can be revealed. But can we recognize what our guest really needs? What is it that we need to give to them? What is it that we need in these nights? Can you discern where you might need to leave the complicated and just bring what really matters to them and to yourselves? To learn what we may need to receive from our guest. We see this incredible story in the book of Luke chapter 10. In verses 38 to 42, we see Jesus visiting Mary and Martha's home. Why don't you join with me in Luke chapter 10, verses 38. As Jesus and the disciples continued on their journey, they came to a village where a woman welcomed Jesus into her home. Her name was Martha, and she had a sister named Mary. When Jesus came as a guest for dinner to Mary and Martha's house, he had arrived from a long journey. But what they weren't aware of was that his whole being was being taken up with the intensity of an inner battle that was within him, a battle his hosts weren't aware of. It was Martha who received Jesus into her house. And with this new arrival, Martha became exasperated and worried. Martha was anxious by everything that needed to be done by this new change entering their home. household chores, spaces needed to be moved around to make room for all this change. And Martha became so overwhelmed, she couldn't see this incredible moment that was right in front of her. You know, point one this morning is value the moments. Can we see the moments that we can value in this season? You know, the coronavirus has been such an incredible change to us all. Incredibly evil when lives are lost and such incredible pain that people are enduring. But the coronavirus is not our guest. Our guest is Jesus Christ. And through Jesus, we can value what is living and breathing moments for us to make the most of. We have been given time, time with Jesus. Ephesians 5:16 says it like this: make the most of every living and breathing moment, because these are evil times. With our relationships, let's discern what is of true value. Life. The lives around us are what are living and breathing. The time that we have been given is a gift from God, and we can value these moments with our relationships. Let's learn how to make the most of these moments, as Jesus is our continual guest, our continual teacher, and showing us how to value these moments that have been given to you and to I from Jesus Christ. You know, with so much change around us, it's so easy to be overwhelmed and to respond to it. But it won't refresh us. If it is you, Jesus, who is our guest, it is you, Jesus, that we are hosting. We are hosting in our homes the presence of Almighty God. Let us become so aware of you, Jesus, in this season. Fear is what wants to change you, but your guest, Jesus, brings you his perfect love to refresh you. 1 John 4:18, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. These are moments where we can fully experience the perfect love of Jesus Christ. Anxiety is the change, but your guest Jesus brings his good words of truth. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart, it weighs it down, but an encouraging word makes it glad. The current storm is the change, but it's the authority of his word that calms your storm. This is the power your guest Jesus brings to you right now, to you and to your families and to your homes. Mark 4:39, a promise that we can rest on this morning. He got up, rebuked the winds, and Jesus said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Extreme loss for so many around the world is the detrimental change that we are living with at the moment. But your guest, Jesus, is your promise to us that we will be never separated from his love. Jesus has taken the sting of death away. Eternity is in your hearts this morning. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, and now he has made all of this plain to us by the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Jesus broke the power of death and illuminated the way to life and immortality through the good news. You know, this morning you are hearing the good news of the gospel in your hearts and in your family's lives. When Martha was reacting to all the necessary change of having Jesus as their guest, she was becoming increasingly overwhelmed. But Mary, her sister, had a different response. In Luke 10, verse 39, we see Mary sat down attentively before the Master, absorbing every revelation, every single word he shared, Mary was attentive to him. At the arrival of their guest Jesus, Mary chose to sit down where he was at, attentively listening to what he taught and absorbing every revelation that he shared. Mary's response was to keep listening. And this is definitely a picture of two responses. Two responses that is the tension within our lives that we face every day. To be distracted or to sit when Jesus is calling us. Luke 10:40, but Martha became exasperated by finishing the numerous household chores in preparation for her guests. So she interrupted Jesus and said, Lord, don't you think it's unfair that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? You should tell her, Jesus. Jesus, you have authority. Jesus, she'll listen to you. I'm frantic. Can you tell my sister Mary to get up and to help me right now? You know, they're both not wrong, but the real question is, what was really needed? What was really needed in this moment? And Mary responded to Jesus in this moment by valuing what the moment needed. Number two, valuing his presence. We can value his presence, who is Jesus Christ. Mary perceived what Jesus needed. Jesus could have come in with all of the disciples. It was a huge party that was in her house that day that she was catering for. He could have come in with his men and started helping with all the preparations. But he didn't. He sat down and he started sharing. Sharing truths, sharing revelations, the miracles he's seen, lives that have been changed, set free and restored, the blind eyes that he'd seen open as he looked to his Father and prayed to God. He saw eyes opening that were blind. And in this moment with Mary, he was sharing these incredible revelations. He was sharing these incredible truths of the things that he'd seen and experienced. Mary could see clearly what Jesus was saying, and she couldn't leave. She was attentive, absorbing everything Jesus was saying. She mirrored his position. He was giving and she was receiving. Both were being refreshed in that moment. Where Mary responded to the position of Jesus, Martha interrupted what was so evident in front of her. This morning, what position do you find yourself in? What position do you find yourself in? When he speaks to you, do you distract yourself with tasks, or do you follow his leadings and gently press into his words to hear his truth? When you feel his presence, do you respond and dwell with him attentively, searching from him what he is so desperate to give you? Jesus, right now in this moment, wants to pour his love for you that was shed upon his body for you. Searching for what he is so desperate to give to you. We go on in the story in verse 41. The Lord answered her, Martha, my beloved Martha. Why are you so upset and troubled, pulled away by many of these distractions? Are they really that important? They're not wrong, but the real question is, what is really need in this moment? Is it the change, or is it the truth that I bring into your hearts? Jesus did not react to error. He lives in response to the Father and illustrates the way in which the Father wanted Martha to come into a time of rest, to come into a moment where he could refresh her heart away from all the distractions and the heaviness it was bringing to her. This morning, God wants to bring rest into your spirit, into your life. He's drawing you. He's drawing your heart to come and sit with him in this moment, to know what it is to rest, to know what it is to be refreshed by the Master, the living God in your heart. You have authority. Listen to me this morning, friends and church. You have authority over any crisis of change that you can rest in. You have authority over any crisis of change that you can rest in. He wanted Martha to know the sensitivity she could walk in with the Father. It's not just hosting a guest. It's hosting Jesus, the living, breathing presence of Almighty God. He has made your hearts his home and he dwells in you. You are hosting the presence of Almighty God. And my last point this morning, can we value the essential? How to value the essential when Martha and Mary both didn't know for Jesus? What they both didn't know was that only one thing was needed. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to die. His whole being was being taken up with the intensity of that inner battle to bend his will to the will of God. He was on his way to the cross. The struggle, the tension was real. When Jesus came to their home in Bethany, it was a great day. And Martha was eager to celebrate it by laying on the best the house could give. So she rushed and fussed and she cooked. And that was precisely what Jesus didn't want in this moment. All Jesus wanted was quiet, and he wanted it with them. With the cross before him, and with the inner tension in his heart, he had turned aside to Bethany to find an oasis of calm away from the demanding crowds, if only for an hour or two. And that is what Mary gave him and what Martha in her kindness did not understand. One thing is necessary. One thing is necessary meant that Jesus did not want the big spread, the big spread. He was just to be happy to be fed a simple meal. Love finds out what the other needs. Love receives and mirrors what one is giving. His heart was crying out for quiet, and Mary took a risk. The risk of not meeting her sister's expectation. This is not about personality. This is about an open heart. Remember what Paul said about Lydia? That Lydia, who did not know Jesus, the Holy Spirit came and opened up her heart wide. Why? To receive truth, to receive the words of her Father. It's not about personality. It's about an open heart this morning. Will you open your heart to hear what your Father wants to express to you? This was about the moments where Jesus will show you the only one thing that is necessary, and it's being with him. It's intimacy with God. It's relationship with your Father. It's hearing his truth. It's knowing his counsel. It's discovering his joy in your life. Verse 42 of Luke chapter 10. Jesus said Mary had discovered the one thing. Imagine Jesus saying that to us right now. You have discovered the one thing, the most important thing. And it was choosing to sit at his feet. The one thing this morning that we can do is choose to sit at the feet of Jesus. Did you know that today you are doing that right now? Can I encourage your church? You're choosing to sit at the feet of Jesus, which means great revelation, great love is being poured into your lives and your hearts right now, which means this is a moment of transformation. It's a moment of discovery where you get to search out what God has for you. She's undistracted. And Jesus said, because Mary is undistracted, I won't take this privilege from her. So what does this mean for us today? What does this mean for you? You know, there are times that God does not want to do something for us. He wants to do something through us. The renewed mind sees the moments and captures the moments and realizes this just isn't about fixing the problem. It's about engaging us in the journey of discovering the purpose of God working in us and working through us. God wants you to discover His purposes for your life right now and in this season. There is an incredible move of God that God is bringing to this earth. There is an incredible move of God that is happening right now in our hearts and in our homes. He has given us the gift, a moment of time where we can come and sit at His feet and find rest and discover what it is that the Lord is saying to us. Do you have the courage? Come on this morning, do you have the courage? Do you have the courage to hear what the King has to say? Do you have the courage to put aside the distractions of what won't refresh you, but sit at the feet of Jesus who will refresh and restore to you? Will you have the courage for God to change and transform you in this incredible move of God that is happening? Will you have the courage to look into His face? As we look into His face, the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. He is appealing. He is appealing to our affections today. He is appealing to your affections in your heart. Do you really want me? Do you really want the living God? I have made your heart my home. Do you really want me, the living God, to come and speak to you and refresh you? And I know the desire of every believer's heart is to say yes. So will you have the courage to put aside the distractions? And when He is calling you, that you will respond in your affection to Him. Revelation 3:20 says, He knocks on the door and He says, you know, He doesn't open the door. He can have the power to open up the door, but He knocks on your door this morning. Would you welcome me? Would you welcome me into your heart, into your home? And if any man hears my voice and opens the door, look at the promise, I'll come in and fellowship with him and him with me. The one thing is fellowship. The one thing is intimacy with God. The living God, the creator of the world, wants to speak to you into your heart. I'll come in and fellowship with him and he with me. Will you willingly receive him this morning? That's the question for our hearts. That's the questions in our busyness. Will you willingly receive him this morning? Church, will you willingly receive? Stretch your heart, open it wide. Will you willingly receive? Because there are things, there are words, there are promises that he needs to share into your heart. He's waiting for you. And what is your answer this morning? I know my answer for me is, Lord, I will respond to you. Lord, I am willing. So what is it as I close? If you follow him, if you respond to him, if you are willing to him this morning, what is it that you can hope to receive from God? And I think nothing says it better than Psalm 23, the Good Shepherd, the Lord. The Lord is my best friend. The Lord is my shepherd. I always have more than enough. He offers a resting place for me in His luxurious love. His tracks take me to an oasis of peace and the quiet brook of bliss. That's where He restores. That's where He revives your life. He opens pathways to God's pleasure, and He leads me along in His footsteps of righteousness so that I can bring honor and glory to His name. Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me. Right now, if you are experiencing fear, hear the word of the Lord. This is a promise that will sustain you. Fear shall not conquer you, because Jesus, you have already conquered fear, and it is your love for me that I have. You remain close to me and lead me through it all the way. All the way you lead me through it. Your authority is my strength. And your authority is my peace. And the comfort of your love, the comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. And right now, for people in the room, I feel that this is a word for you. You become my delicious feast, even when my enemies dare to fight. You anoint me with the fragrance of your Holy Spirit. You give me all that I can drink of you until my heart overflows. So why would I fear the future? Church, why would you fear the future? For your goodness, Lord, and your love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be forever with you. What an incredible word. What an incredible truth this morning. Father, I just pray for every single person. Let this word, let this truth, let these promises that are alive and living, let it come and resonate within our hearts this morning as we can come to a place of stillness, where we can come to a place of rest, where we can hear from you. Lord, that your living water shall sustain us and overflow all the days of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you are in this place this morning and you might be watching for the first time and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, can I encourage you this morning? Can I tell you the truth? He loves you. His love is so beautiful. His love is endless. His love wants to wrap itself around you so that you know you are truly loved by God Almighty. You know, it's Galatians 2:20, the Son of God who loved me. He is the one who gave himself up for me. This God loves you so much that he went to a cross. He died and sacrificed his own life so that you never needed to know the sting of death. He overcame the sting of death and he rose again on the 3rd day that you could have victory, that you could have eternity, eternal life. Never to be separated from Jesus, never to be separated from his love, never to be separated from his peace. And it's from his love that you can receive through this invitation. It's an invitation that you will never walk alone. And Romans 10:9 says it the best way. If you're asking, what is it that I have to do to be saved? What is it that I have to do to have this relationship with God? Romans 10:9 makes it so clear. If you declare with your mouth, if you say openly this morning, Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, the Bible says today that you will be saved. In this moment, if you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart. I'm going to give you this opportunity right now to never be separated from Him again. And as a church, we're going to pray this prayer together. And if you want to pray this prayer with us, you're going to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart this morning. Won't you pray after me? Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart this morning. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in my heart that Jesus, you rose from the dead. And with this God, I can be saved. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, because you have prayed this prayer of salvation this morning, the promise is now that you stand on. Jesus Christ is in your heart. And this morning, if you go to gc.org.au/first steps, we don't want you just to stay in this prayer. We want you to move in an understanding of what it means to walk in relationship with God. And everything in that is going to tell you how you can have a relationship with God, how you can walk the days out your life in fellowship with God. Because we don't want to leave you alone. We want you to understand what it means to have a relationship with God. Amen. Amen.